This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So within the spectrum of the trans community, how do you describe yourself?
So I just describe myself as a woman. And then sometimes when needed, who happens to be trans, I might say that. But I just identify myself as a woman because that's who I am.
How do you describe yourself?
It's a really curious one. I was born intersex. I'm a mosaic. And my birth assignment didn't quite match who I felt as. And then during puberty, my body started changing a little bit different to what a normal male would be expected to develop as. I developed secondary characteristics more like a female. So I pretty much had to learn how to become a male, how to hide some of my features at a fairly young age. And I guess I probably transitioned to being male at that stage. And then later in life, I transitioned to female, which matches some of my features a little bit better.
Do you describe yourself as a trans woman, or is that not appropriate?
I just describe myself as a person. I think transition is a temporary state. It's a progression from one gender to another gender, essentially learning how to exist as the other gender. And once you develop an appropriate headspace, it's pretty much you just eventually accept yourself as a person.
How do you describe yourself?
Oh my God, with myself. Well, I'm a trans woman. I am somebody who don't believe in being completely stealth and hidden in everything. I believe being completely visible raises more awareness of who and what we are.
I describe myself as non-binary and also gender fluid. I'm a girl most of the time, so I'm kind of comfortable just saying trans girl just because it helps people get it a little bit quicker. But yeah, non-binary and gender fluid.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Do you think that description will always be with you, or do you see a day where perhaps it either won't be needed or will be adjusted to something else?
I can't envisage any sort of change. I know who I am. I know who I've always been, so I shouldn't have to change that at all. I don't envisage any changes.
In terms of the way you describe yourself or the way you describe yourself to others, do you think it will continue to evolve, or do you think, or will it, in time, will it be adjusted to something else?
I think over the years I tried to be what everyone expected me to be when I was younger. Then at a much later stage, I transitioned to how I felt, how I was a lot more comfortable, and I didn't have to hide parts of me. And now I just exist. And, well, I do. I'm just a person. And I just leave it up to everyone to decide who I am. And I guess for the last 10 years, at least, I've never had to question myself.
So do you think that that description of as being a trans woman is something that will always be with you, or do you see a day where perhaps either it won't be needed or it'll be adjusted to something else?
A lot of people have different views on that, Chris. Some people say, why do we need to have the trans bit in front of it? Some people say we need it. For me personally, at this time and age of where we are, I do prefer having the trans marker in front of my gender status as a woman, because for me it is a hard road. It actually goes to identify and say what I've actually been through as a person, and it sparks a lot of conversation to raise more awareness. there's a lot of people of a younger generation who go, no, I'm just a woman. But for me, saying trans in front of it, it actually says a lot.
Gender fluid is something that's, it's a term that's probably a little newer to the conversation for a lot of people. What does that mean?
Gender fluid just means that my internal sense of gender changes with time. So there are days where I'm a little bit more of a boy. There are days where I'm a girl. There are days where I'm kind of in between or neither or maybe a little bit of both. It moves around and changes.
Do you think that description will always be with you, or do you see a day when perhaps either it won't be needed or it'll be adjusted to something else?
I'm really not sure. I mean, a few years ago, before I knew that being non-binary was actually a thing, I would never have even considered changing anything. So as soon as I found that phrase that kind of summed up what I'd been feeling for the longest time, I was like, oh my God, that's me. So look, it's possible that it might change in the future, but at the moment, I'm quite happy with that.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Through your involvement here at Joy and other community initiatives, you are a person who's made a decision to be visible. What does being visible mean to you?
Okay, so that's a really good question about choosing to be visible, because I suppose I was fortunate where I could have been given the option of just blending in. But at the same time, it gets back to, I think, probably my personal values and the idea of trying to make things better for other people who are coming forward and dealing with their own issues. I know as a trans person, I struggle with internalized transphobia for a long time, and also the stigma attached with being trans, and also the role models that we saw with transgender people out there of being, well, the kind of freak shows that you would see on something like the Jerry Springer show. And I know that's not me. So I think what I really chose to do was to be visible so that people, if they are questioning their own gender identity, there is that role model out there, and there are other role models out there which articulate a narrative where you are not a freak, you're just a normal person.
So I think you've already answered it, but my next question is, why is being visible important? And I assume it's because you want to add to the pool of role models.
Yeah, I think, look, it's something which... I think probably my involvement at Joy has provided me with the opportunity of getting in there and actually talking to a wider audience than what I'd normally be able to talk to. So in that respect, it's sort of, I wouldn't say thrust upon me, but it's something which I've openly welcomed.
Through your involvement here at Joy and perhaps through other community initiatives, you're a person who has made a decision to be visible. What does being visible mean to you?
I think I really wanted to create greater awareness for intersex people, and at that stage it became relevant to just become visible and to be seen.
And why do you think it's important to be visible?
To show the world that we're just normal human beings, we're just people.
Through your involvement here at Joy and other community initiatives, you're a person who has made a decision to be visible. What does being visible mean to you?
Well, let's be honest, I'm 6'3", Chris, so it's kind of hard to actually hide in a crowd. my children still call me Dad. You've seen me, you know me personally. I do put a lot of effort into my personal image and things like that. I do represent as a very feminine woman. But I have a lot of views when it comes to changing what my children call me. I go by she and her. My name is now Michelle. It's so hard to explain. I remaining visible the way I do, I just don't feel we need to be hiding anymore. So many people worry so much about staying stealth or hidden and not having our status. Well, that just causes bigger issues and bigger heartache and bigger stress and depression about trying to fight stereotypes that even affect other women and men in society that aren't trans.
So it's just important that, like any other marginalized community, that the more visible you are, the less the rest of the community sees you as being different.
Exactly. So me walking around doing my thing, I have people just interact with me, oh, well, that's just Michelle. She's just a woman I know, and et cetera. That's the response I get back from my work with ANZ, LGBTI Jobs, every other organization I go to. Well, that's just Michelle. And these days, when people actually see older photos of myself or hearabouts of my past, they go, well, that's uncomfortable. I really don't need to know that about you. I just know this about you. So they just know me as this larger-than-life woman who's just who is exactly who they are, just Michelle.
So through your involvement here at Joy and other community initiatives, you're a person who's made a decision to be visible. What does being visible mean to you?
Being visible to me just means not having to hide myself or any part of who I am, really. That's kind of the shortest, the most succinct way I can put it, I guess.
So why is being visible important?
I mean, I guess for me, I didn't know that being non-binary or gender fluid or anything like that was a thing until a few years ago. And so as soon as I found out about it, I was like, oh my God, like this is me. I get this. And had I known or perhaps seen other people who were like that before that time, I probably would have identified like that a lot younger. So being visible, I guess, is really helpful just to be able to show other people that if that that it's real and that it's a thing and it's totally okay to...
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
If you had to name the number one priority for the trans community in terms of moving forward legally, services-wise, community attitude, without discounting any of the other priorities, what else? What would be your number one priority to get fixed?
There is so much. There really is. There's a multitude of issues which need to be addressed. And how long have you got, Chris? I could spend lots of time.
Top issue.
Look, the top issue, I would say, would be social acceptance. And look, one of the biggest issues that we do see is the amount of hate speech which does come against trans people. All you have to do is read through the comments or read some of the right-wing press, and I think that's probably a bit of an indication. But there's other issues in terms of trans kids' access to hormone therapy with not having to get family court approval on those things. So, you know, that's another issue which is very close to that one in itself.
But you really think that social attitudes, if they can be changed, then lots of other things will flow on.
A lot of us actually suffer the stigma of being trans, which is which does impact on for many trans people, it impacts on our mental health in terms of depression and anxiety. There's a high propensity for trans people to suffer from those mental health issues. Not that being trans is a mental health issue, but it's the stigma attached to, which comes from from societal expectations as to how people think someone should be. So in that sense, I think probably an attitude shift and attitude change from wider society in terms of the acceptance, hey, is the best thing. And I think really Trans Visibility Day is a really good day where we can start to say that, hey, we're just regular folk and we've got the same hopes and wants and dreams and aspirations just as anyone else.
If you had to name the number one priority for the trans community in terms of moving forward, whether that's legally, services-wise, or community attitude, now without discounting any of the other priorities, but what would be your number one priority to get fixed?
I think to me the most important one is marriage equality, to allow people to retain their current relationships with their partners. I think that's one of the most important ones for the transgender community.
If you had to name the number one priority for the trans community in terms of moving forward, whether that's legally, services-wise, community attitude, and this is without discounting anything else, what would be your number one priority to get fixed?
I would say community attitude. The hardest thing is I find that in some of the spaces I go into, and you know, I knock on a lot of doors, Chris. I talk to a lot of different organizations. I talk to a lot of different people. I talk to a lot of different executives, everything. And from my position, there needs to be give and take from both ends, where I find that there does need to be education within these organizations I go into. But they're actually more willing than we realize. And so we actually need to work within our own community and saying, hey, you know, times are changing, so we need to actually start changing our mindset too.
If you had to name the number one priority for the trans community in terms of moving forward legally, services-wise, community attitude, without discounting any of the other things, what would be your number one priority to get fixed?
Certainly in Victoria, and also I guess all the other states in Australia, the ability to change the gender marker on one's birth certificate without requiring surgery. At the moment, that's a really, I mean, it's a particularly expensive procedure for anybody to have to go through. And that really locks a lot of people out of being able to present as their identity and be identified as that on legal forms. Yeah, I feel like being able to change one's gender marker on legal forms without requiring surgery would be pretty high up there.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And because we are the CNC Drive Factory, help or hindrance, Caitlin Jenner?
Double-edged sword, really. In one sense, The conversation that Caitlin Jenner has stimulated has been interesting, both good and bad. In terms of from wider society, people start to see a person who was an Olympic gold medalist and actually come out as being trans. But also from the same perspective as well, or from the opposite perspective, the trans community actually does view her quite negatively in terms of the context that her transition is not representative of any other trans person in terms of the privilege, in terms of the financial wealth that she's got, in terms of the access to resources. She's very different because most trans people are financially disadvantaged, employment disadvantaged, subject to issues in terms of housing stigma and so on. And the list goes on. So good and bad, she's good for average, everyday, heteronormative, cisgender people to look at it and say, oh, okay, well, that's someone who's trans. But from a trans perspective, looking at Caitlin Jenner, yeah, she's totally different to us.
Megan Smith, thanks for joining us on Transgender Day of Visibility here on Joy.
Thanks, Chris.
Because we are the CNC Drive Factory, your last question you can answer in any way you want. What are your thoughts on Caitlin Jenner? Help or hindrance?
Caitlin Jenner is just another person. And I'm not sure that she has done any harm to the transgender community other than, you know, probably the fact that she's set very high goals for a lot of people that will never be able to attain them. She's had quite a few resources behind her to be able to affect a fairly major change in her life with all the surgeries and all the assistance that she's managed to achieve to get together, where a lot of transgender people are just scraping enough money together just to survive and can't attain any of those goals. So by publicising things like that, she puts a lot for some people. But she has raised the profile for a lot of issues that transgender people face. And she has normalised a lot of things. So certainly isn't anything bad. And I wouldn't say that she's, you know, trying to do any harm to anyone.
Andrea, thank you for answering those questions for me today.
You're welcome.
What are your thoughts on Caitlin Jenner, help or hindrance?
You know, it's funny. Every interview, it always seems to be that Caitlin Jenner comes up. And I'll say the exact same thing I've said every time. When Caitlin came out, great. You know, she actually raised a bit of awareness. She did strike a bit of a fire. And you know the work I've done there at Joy, all the news I'd seen before Caitlin was, you know, stories of murder, stories of just distress and pain. And after Caitlin came out, there was a lot of change in attitude and stories and stuff that was coming out. But unfortunately, what I hate when it comes to Caitlin is she had such an opportunity. She then pretty much just I'm trying to find the best words to say that are not mean, but she wasted it. And I feel, because I'm a trans woman who doesn't believe in surgery, yes, I am on hormones. Yes, I've been doing this for 3 years and changed myself, but I just believe we need to focus more on the inside before we focus on the outside and let time do its thing. And I believe Caitlin just, again, she broadcasted and advertised the fact of you need to go and do all these surgeries to be a woman, and that's not what it is to be a woman. Makeup, hair, all that stuff, that's not what makes a woman. It's what's inside of our heart, inside of our minds, that makes us who we are as our gender and just who we are as a person.
Thank you for your answers today, Michelle, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for doing this.
All right.
You have a great day.
Thanks, Michelle. What are your thoughts on Caitlyn Jenner? Help or hindrance?
On Trans Day visibility, she's very, very visible, and she's started a lot of conversations. So in that context, particularly on Trans Day visibility, I suppose she's been helpful in that. We've all got things going on, and she's on a journey, and she's obviously changing as a person, particularly on a level of working out who she is in relation to the people who she's felt that she has belonged to all of her life. So I feel sometimes at times she's a hindrance, but I don't want to call her that on Trans Day visibility and like pull her down, and like that's not fair at all to her. God, this is a wordy answer.
We'll take that.
Okay, phew. Am I sweating? I'm sweating. What the hell? Trans Day of visible sweat on my forehead when I get asked about Caitlyn Jenner. Jesus.
T. Butler, thank you for sharing your thoughts on Transgender Day of Visibility here on Joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.